born as a fucking drummer. Music in your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swing it while I'm singing. Hey.
Yeah. How's it going? Exit to Brooklyn.
We're back.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
Eric Bronstein.
Tom McCaffrey.
Yeah.
We're fighting the power, man.
Public Enemy, Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah. I love that song, man.
That's what he was all about, right?
That's really like more of a Malcolm X song. But,
yeah, it is.
You know, but,
Do you remember what movie that was
in? Yeah, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
But I just love that song and some of their others because they were just so political, and some of the songs were viscerally hating white people, and I actually like that.
Yeah, I got into them, I guess, when I was like 16.
Yeah.
And rap was becoming so big, and I was really into it, and a lot of rap, I think, was kind of anti-white, but it's that age where you're kind of open to that.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, white people. I don't think I understood that this was against white people.
Well, but it was a lot of backlash. And there's actually a lyric in the song where they make fun of that guy, Bobby McFerrin. You know that line?
Oh, they do? What
do they
say?
He goes, don't worry, be happy.
Was a number one jam.
Yeah, if I sing that, you can slap me
right
down.
Yeah.
Because basically they were saying that at the time, the music, the black music that was in the top 40 was just like soft.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Everything's fine. You know, meanwhile, the black community has this huge crack epidemic, violence and stuff. And so that was kind of like an answer to that song.
What was Bobby McFerrin supposed to do? Right. What kind of music? I mean, he just made that kind of music.
Yeah.
I don't know. You need that kind of music too, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that was safe white people music.
Yeah. And these guys were like, you know, young and angry. And I don't even know how young Chuck D was, though, at the time.
They have that other song about Arizona. Do you know that one?
Yeah, that was the one that was really controversial because it was about how Arizona wouldn't celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.
That's the song we should have played, actually.
Yeah, actually.
I forgot about that one.
Play that at the end, That would have made more sense.
I always thought that song, but sometimes songs can be so, you can make them too dated, because that song is basically about how come there's no Martin Luther King Day in Arizona.
Right.
And it sounds kind of dated now because it's...
Because they haven't?
Yeah, for like 30 years.
Well, I guess they started... I can't think of the word. They started, you know, celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 86.
Yeah.
And that song, by the time I got to Arizona, was 91. So they still, for 5 years... refuse to acknowledge.
Oh, no, I know. I just make the point that sometimes you hear artists, especially hip-hop one day, and they say stuff that's so, it's not evergreen, it's just so to the moment, that when you listen to the song, like even Eminem, he has a song where he brings up Dick Cheney, you know?
Right,
and you hear the song now, it's kind of funny, because it's like...
Yeah,
you
wish you had Dick Cheney now. he was that whole song where he's mad at Bush.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny to think back. People were so angry at Bush, and he was like amazing now.
Yeah.
That was Sista Souljah was on that song. Do you remember her? She's at the beginning. She went away fast. She was really annoying.
Well, she was the one who helped get Bill Clinton elected.
Sista Souljah?
Because Bill Clinton wanted to make sure that that the moderates didn't think of him as like a very left-wing person.
Right.
So he scolded Sista Souljah about one of her songs.
He did?
Yeah,
I thought Dan Quayle did.
No, that was something else. That was like Murphy Brown or something.
Yeah.
But Clinton...
No, I know that. Well, that one. Yeah, you're right. I get Murphy Brown and Sista Souljah mixed up a lot.
The Democrats for years were like not in office, and people thought them as the party of just minorities. So Clinton wanted to show that he wasn't... The Democrats weren't just the party of minorities.
Oh, I see.
So he like scolded her, you know? And then some white people were like, oh, I guess I can vote for this guy.
Oh, he did. Well, that was a time where they were very easy targets, rap music.
Yeah.
Because rap music at that time hadn't been around long. And I think people didn't think it didn't have the power, the mainstream power. So it was easy to like, it was an easy like scapegoat back then. And people were like, it's not going to be around that long.
And that's the thing, like then when Hillary was running, especially against Obama, even last year, it's like why a lot of the black community wasn't on board with her because of the stuff that her husband
emails.
Did. No,
I'm just kidding.
The stuff her husband did years ago that was like, he also did like welfare reform and the crime bill that really kind of screwed black people. So, and things like that song where he's like ripping into rappers, you know?
Oh, okay. Wait, who? Which one? Oh, when he was ripping into rappers.
Yeah, so they just tied her with him, you know. And so,
yeah,
you know,
I don't know what happened with that. I mean, obviously, people hated her.
Right.
But interesting side note, I feel like the Beastie Boys were partly responsible for Public Enemy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how, but somehow. They like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Chuck D and all them were always like, oh, I love them. A lot of, you know, just watching this documentary on the Beastie Boys and all, like, the hardest rappers love them.
I think it was
Rakim.
Right. Wasn't it the use of, like, their sampling, how they incorporated sampling and music into rap?
Well, that too. Yeah. But I think that they somehow were responsible for Public Enemy, because Public Enemy was on, I think Public Enemy opened for them.
Oh, okay.
I think that's how it started. So, like, when they were really huge, they had Public Enemy open for them. That's how, like, cool they were.
All right. Okay.
All right, so let's get into it. So we haven't done this in about a month.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened.
Yeah. So James Franco, this shit's happened so fast.
Well, let's
now.
Start with Aziz first.
Okay, let's get
it's
into
bigger
him.
Story, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna get into it, slide into it. But so when did this come out? Like Saturday night. I feel like Saturday night. I got home really late,
right?
And I couldn't get to sleep, and I saw the thing on Twitter.
Yeah, and I was telling you that I heard this. I heard T.J. Miller a little before it happened.
You did? How soon before?
T.J. Miller? I think we talked about it. I heard it like a month or two before it happened.
Okay.
And then Aziz, I heard last month. I said, someone told me. He's like, he's the next one who's going to go down.
There's this rapper, Joe Budden. Mm-hmm. He is he's on Eminem's album. I mean, Eminem's record label, Shady Records. And there's a podcast from like a month ago, and he was like, oh, the next guy is Aziz.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, Aziz Ansari? And he's like, I don't know what his last name is. He said something like, he's like, he's the next one they're telling to get out or something like that.
Well, I heard, the rumor I heard was going to be an underage girl.
Oh, really?
See, this is his problem now, because this thing on the face of it really doesn't sound that bad, you know, but... You know what happens is when somebody
come out,
then you're screwed.
That's what he's praying. Do you think he must have known, because if you heard it and people were talking about it, he won the Golden Globe like a week before.
Right under the wire, man.
So,
you know, 1 week later.
And he looks kind of like not happy giving the speech.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. I mean, maybe in retrospect, but even he just kind of looks like. Uncomfortable. Like,
I kind of looked at that, and I was thinking the same thing, just because I knew about the story that was going to break.
Like it was now, it's almost like when you win, that's like the worst possible thing because you're the target now.
Right.
They're like, oh, you won? Okay.
You know, and you're just thinking, it's like, let's say that happened a week later after the story came out. Yeah. And I know Golden Globes, those are almost like fake awards. You know, they could probably change it at the last minute.
Probably, I think.
But let's
say
they couldn't. Like, he wouldn't show up for that award.
Oh, no way. No. And he wouldn't want... Yeah, it's getting weird. It's like winning awards is bad now.
Yeah.
Like, they're campaigning for other people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, come on, this guy is better. But, so, the story... You've read the article. First of all, it's kind of in a weird paper. Babe?
Yeah, those are the type of websites that turn websites into popular websites. They get a scoop. And that's the problem now. It's like there's all these minor little websites. They're looking for that scoop.
Yeah.
So if they can get a story like that and they can prove it, you know, they'll all of a sudden, this, I think, Babe, now they're going to be on the map now.
Right.
You know, that's
that
like,
just doesn't sound like a serious publication. No. Where did you hear this, Babe? Like in court, you know, like, well, wasn't this on Babe?
Well, you know, 20 years ago, which is actually anniversary, today, I think, or this week, the Drudge broke the Monica Lewinsky story.
Oh, yeah.
And Drudge in 98 was like a goof.
Right.
You know?
It's going to be in like 2 weeks. It's going to be, where did this story first start? Stank.com. Dickcheese.net.
Somewhere there's like a New York Times reporter just cutting his throat. You know what I mean? Just like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because it's getting babe.net beat them. So, all right. I want to talk about the story. So, I'll give my opinion on it. It's, you know, first of all, it's like anonymous, which is already like, okay, that seems pretty convenient. I mean, I'm not saying you have to, you know, identify yourself, but it's just now it seems very easy that you're like, I'm not going to say who I am, but this guy did this horrible thing.
Well, and you can get away with that because you're like, oh, I'm a victim. So, you know.
So the story is, I mean, if people don't know, it's basically, he met this girl at a party, right? And, you know, he's famous.
Right.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of weird things, dude. Like, she was on a date at the party and, like, totally was, like, trying to bang him.
Right.
And then they met up. And then, like, basically, there's a lot of weird things. Like, one of the first things that stands out is she's like, he gave me white wine. Right. That's a big part of it. Right. That people are having a problem with.
Right.
She's like, I like red wine, but he just made me have white wine. I'm like, okay. I mean, that's unfortunate. But, you know,
right,
if you go to someone's house and they just give you something to drink you don't want to drink.
Right.
That's not a part of a story.
Well, the thing that, I mean, disturbed me through the whole thing was these nonverbal cues. She's like, I didn't say no, but he should have read my face. Type of thing.
Well,
that's a little
right, but there are things where she does kind of say no.
Oh, she does.
Well, she like first of all, she's like stops him.
Oh, okay.
She says like
that's a nonverbal cue.
Like 5 or 7 times, he was like putting her hand on his dick like 7 times.
Oh, I must have glanced through it because I didn't see read all the whole thing.
I mean, the thing is, it's kind of like it's kind of goes both ways.
Right.
The thing with it now is that it's hurting the whole movement.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the first one that people are like, the public outcry is like, this is ridiculous. There's two sides to it, but it does seem like a lot of people are taking his side, just being like, look, he sounds like he's bad with women and he's like horny.
Well, this is what I was also thinking of today. And this is a message to all women out there.
Okay.
All right. If you go home with a celebrity, that shit's going to happen. And I'll tell you why.
Right.
Because basically, this is what I think. This guy and all guys like that are famous. They're very, very busy. Right. They know they can get a lot of sex.
Right.
They are not going to spend time trying to court a woman.
Right.
There's no second dates.
The whole 15 years leading up to this was the courtship.
Right.
Of him working to become famous.
Right.
That's why guys want to be famous.
Exactly. Now, I'm not defending the behavior. I'm just saying to women, if they don't want these guys to do that, don't seriously just don't date them because these guys are, Aziz is probably super busy. He wants to get laid. He's not going.
You think
going,
so? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
He's not going back for a second date, you know?
Right.
And so that's what women should know going into this.
That's what a part of this was. It felt like a bit of it was like, because there's things like, you know, I picked out my outfit. I'm not like shitting on her, whatever. Yeah. Like, because I mean, it sounds like stuff that he did was kind of like over the line. But there were just, it sounded a little bit like, oh my God, I'm going out with a celebrity. And they think that they're going out with the guy from the TV show.
Right,
and they're like, I can't believe you're not the guy from the TV show. And it's like, no, dude, he's just this horny guy. Right. And you like kind of threw yourself at him. Right. You know, you're with a date and you picked up on him.
And a horny guy who gets laid constantly doesn't have to usually probably do any work for it.
Right.
So, I mean.
Which is kind of why I'm like, well, what are you doing then? Like, why do you have to keep putting. I think what it is they get in these situations and they can't believe that someone's not doing the thing.
Right.
So in their mind, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, why wouldn't you be doing this?
Right. And this doesn't excuse the behavior. But I'm just saying that if you go back to a celebrity, if you're a woman, you go back to a celebrity dude's house or hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's going to try to bang you.
Yeah, they're going to try to bang you.
Right. And so that's the warning.
It's also the go ahead.
It's like going back with a rapist, you know, just don't fucking do it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good tip. Women out there, if you go out with a rapist, don't go back to his apartment.
But what I'm saying is I feel like these guys just don't care.
But there's still women dating O.J. Simpson. That's what's so funny. Like, I don't know, he seems cool.
And again, just because if anyone's listening, not condoning the behavior, think the behavior is bad. But I think these guys, they don't give a shit, and they're just going to try to fuck you.
Well, I think that's what happens. It's like, that's the trade-off. These women meet these celebrities, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm so hot. And they think that they're going to, like, be their girlfriend.
Right.
Now. You know what I mean? And I even read, and so you would think that being, first of all, I think probably being a celebrity right now as a guy to get laid is probably kind of gone out the window a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you have to be so careful now.
Right.
Because you can just be. You can just be ruined.
Yeah.
Like this, I don't know that this will ruin him because it seems to be getting, seen from another side.
As long as more don't come on there.
Right.
Because when you get to 5, then Netflix drops the show.
Yeah.
Then
but
it's
still kind of, I think it can hurt him still.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not somebody's going to go away next week. There's still going to be people that are not on his side. And I mean, like I said, reading the article, I think that this is kind of a little bit ridiculous, but he did kind of do things that were a little bit like, dude, that's kind of like, you shouldn't be doing that. At some point, you just got to be like, no, like, she's not going to sleep with you.
Right.
Which is seems like the normal, you know what I mean? If I've been in that situation, sometimes just women aren't going to sleep with you. Just be like, oh, all
right. Right. But these people are not human beings. They're like, or at least they don't think of themselves that. So, you know, I just think as a woman, don't fucking, you don't want to get raped. Don't fucking hang out with these guys.
Right. And that's, yeah, like, that's a trade-off if you're going to, like, bang these celebrity dudes. Like, things like, they're not going to be really nice.
No, remember what Jeter used to do?
No, not yet.
Derek Jeter, this came out where he...
He made them sign something?
Not that I heard of, but I think that stuff is either has happened or will happen more. But I think the girl would come over, he'd have sex with her, and then the next day he would give her like a gift basket.
Oh.
With like signed baseballs and stuff.
Yeah.
And the only time, the reason why they figured this out is he did twice with this one girl and she got the same gift basket.
Oh, really? And then she... So it kind of like softens the blow.
Yeah, because he probably knows, you know, and he was so smart with that stuff because you never heard stories about him. But that's what this guy probably did. He's probably like, you're coming home with me, you're fucking me.
Right. You know? It kind of makes sense to me when you hear about these celebrities going to like prostitutes because it's probably just easier for them.
Yeah.
Because they don't like the problem with them isn't getting the sex. It's like that famous phrase.
Yeah.
You're paying them to leave. Because like Charlie Sheen, like he was like every girl I would hook up with like thought that they were my girlfriend now.
Right.
And you know, that guy was banging a lot of people.
Right.
And I think he was just like, I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? I just want it to be like a very business.
Yeah, so he went to hookers and he got AIDS. So
yeah, it worked out great for him. Somehow he's still he's probably gonna live like 40 more years.
Yeah.
So one thing that, so what do you think of this whole thing? Like, do you think it's getting skewed and kind of going over the line of...
You sure I'm going through the...
You are, I hear it, yeah. This one. That one, no.
Okay, all right.
But you can use them both. do you think it's gone too far and now this, because it seems like the pendulum swung so far and now it seemed like inevitable would come back, but now this seems to be the first kind of coming back a little bit. Because it's now safe to say for this one, people being like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Wasn't safe to say that before.
No, I mean, it's, you know, well, now you're just talking about rules of dating. You're not talking about, you know, so now, I mean, these guys, and the funny thing is, it's like, this is probably going on all the time, and it's just certain people. But he's a target because he was very pro-woman.
Did you know him ever?
Nah, I might have run into him once or twice. You probably ran into
him. I knew him, like, I knew him for a time, and yeah. The last time I saw him, I ran into him. He, I did, like, a CD years ago, and he's on the CD.
Right.
It's a compilation.
The Rafifi thing?
Yeah. And, He wasn't famous yet, and I mean, he was coming up. I mean, he was someone that, like, when he was 22, the entire industry was behind him.
Yeah.
So looking back on that, it's just, I mean, he had his own TV show like 24. Mm-hmm. But what started to happen, and he started a show at UCB called Crash Test.
Right. Which is like Whiplash now or something?
I think it's Whiplash now. It was like midnight on Mondays.
Right.
And I did the very first one he ever did. And then what happened was, I kept doing it, and then it became such a hot show, and he became so big that I wouldn't get booked on it anymore because it was all, like, hugely famous comedians.
Right.
And that, like, kind of pissed me off. Every now and then, like, he would text me at, like, Monday at, like, 7.
He had a dropout.
Well, he'd be like, hey, can you do the show tonight? And it would usually be he wasn't even in town for it.
Yeah.
And so I think, he either hadn't booked it. Like, I think he liked me, but I wasn't, like, a priority. And what happened with him was I never had a problem with him. He never was mean to me. He did kind of, like, as he got famous, he was, like, very different to me, which I guess is kind of expected, and that just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Like, I would see him at shows, and I'd be like, hey, and he'd be like, oh, hey, man. And then he'd, like, kind of walk away because I think I was just kind of like, why would you waste your time talking to me now?
So you must be really upset about this whole thing going down.
Well, I mean, like, the thing is, and this is when I heard, like, years about him. Like I said, I never had a problem. He never was, like, overtly mean to me, but people, I would hear a lot of people, like, say shitty things about it. Like, I think he could be shitty to people a lot. And he kind of had a rep for... They even make fun of it on that roast with James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
That after party must have been a nightmare for women. It was James Franco, Aziz, Louis C.K.
Everyone's getting raped.
Weinstein. Jesus Christ. No, so But they made jokes about how he was always like trying to find whoever the most important person in the room was.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that about him.
He jokingly had that kind of, I think he had a rep for that. Like, just very like, who do I got to talk to? Like, you know, the most powerful person in the industry.
Because that guy seemed like he was just famous from, I don't know how you get famous from like the get-go. Like, immediately famous.
You know what's really funny? I did a before that. The show was called Invite Them Up, and it was really popular. That's what the CD is.
Yeah.
And I got in on the ground floor of that show. I started doing it like before it became big. And one time I was on it, and they used to they brought this guy up. They were like, "Hey, this guy, he did it last week, and he was really great. We had him back, and Aziz Ansari." And I remember he went up, and like I remember I didn't think he was doing that well, and I was like, "Man, I feel bad for this guy. Like, he looks like he's young and new, and he's like not that he's not doing very well." And then like 3 months later, he was just like the toast of alternative comedy.
Yeah, well, I watched an early video of his once. He's doing Mitch Hedberg. It's early, just slow. You know how he runs around now? Slow one line and sound just like Hedberg.
Yeah, he kind of sounds like it. That's what they would say. He kind of was like Hedberg and like Chris Rockish.
Right.
And but I mean, I get it. He was, first of all, he's really young. He's really confident. He is really charismatic.
And Indian, and that was very
Indian and Southern.
Yeah, and that was very. But the Indian thing was very new at that time.
Yeah,
that was, he might have been like the, you know, so that was like a big thing. You know?
Indian with like a Southern accent and like confident and like pretty good. You know, like very like a presence. You know what I mean? And so by 22, it was just, he was everywhere. And, you know, he is good at that. He was good at the networking stuff.
Right.
And so his show at UCB was becoming big. And, like, 5 months into him having that show, it was just, like, the hugest show. Like, I think one of the last times I did it, I showed up and there was, like, this huge line
outside.
Yeah, it's
always, like, sold out. Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I got there and, like, Patton Oswalt was on it. And I was just like, oh, my. And I hadn't even really, I was like, oh, I have a show tonight. And then I showed up and it was, like, the biggest show in the world.
And it became, like, a... From what I think I saw it once, but it became like such an easy show to do because everyone was so excited. And like, you bomb on that show. I don't know how it was in the early years. You bomb on that show, you're terrible.
Well, it was, but it was also like hard because it was that thing. Like, if you bombed, then you looked bad.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the hot show and like big people would be there.
Right.
So if you did, that was kind of the pressure for me when I did it. Cause, and then I started to feel like, oh my God, I'm not as, I can't hang with these guys. Because I was doing okay, but it would be like the biggest comedians in the world, you know, that before I even started were like famous. And I'm like doing, I'm following like two of them.
Right. And you're already, the crowd is like shutting off when you're going on stage.
Yeah. And I would usually, like, they were a good crowd, but I would always get nervous. Like, I was like, because I was like, if I don't do well, I won't do the show ever again.
Plus, you got to, after you follow huge guys, you got to work harder there. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. One time I did it and I had to follow Janine Garofalo and Jim Gaffigan. Mm-hmm. They had gone back to back. And, and not only had they gone back to back, they had done this thing right before I went on of them like pretending to wrestle each other. So I was like, no, I have to follow these huge comedians. And then like they've done some weird wrestling thing. And then I just got to go on. You know what I mean? I made fun of it.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I just like, all right, that's going to be easy to follow. I was like, I really wasn't even, I think I was booked on this like yesterday, and now here I am following like two icons who just were wrestling in front of you. I was usually like, that was another thing they liked there, that alternative, which I think is why I did well in that scene, is because they liked you not seeming prepared.
Yeah. You never
which
seem
I'm so no, but I'm good at like seeming not prepared.
You are, yeah.
Like I can like go off the cuff. Like if when I did that, they liked it because I made fun of something just happened,
right?
And I, you know, you could tell if you were too prepared, they wouldn't.
You sounded too much like a jokey comic.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen even in not in those rooms when someone's too like, hey, like you can tell like it's off putting because there's no connection or something. I think that was kind of my best thing for that. It was like I was good at like, but sometimes I would do it too much. I'd get too wrapped up in the crowd.
Right.
So I don't know. So like I said, he was never like mean to me or anything, but I heard later, you know, maybe it was just sour grapes with people, a lot of people, because he became so big so fast. And I do think he became really big and he acted differently to certain people.
He sounds like a fucking phony, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. That's I don't have to worry about saying awful things about him.
But there's a lot of podcasts talking about him that he'll. And I mean, the last time I saw him, the very last time I ran into him, it was like 2008, and I was working this temp job at the time in like, you know, near Penn Station. And I walked into the lobby and Aziz was just like standing in the lobby.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and I had to see him cause he was right there. And I was like, hey man, what's up? And he was just like, hey man, how's it going? And this was like right before he like really blew up.
Yeah, right before Parks and Rec, right?
Yeah, I think it had just started or something. And I was just like, man, in my mind, I was like, I don't want to like have an awkward conversation. Because it was weird because like we weren't in a comedy environment. Yeah. We were just randomly in a building.
I know, it's weird when you're running the comics in that situation.
What?
When you run into comics and not club situations.
And someone who's like kind of exploding a little bit and like you're kind of like, oh, is he still going to talk to me? And you could, I talked to him.
You're at your temp job, so you have to pretend.
I didn't. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm here seeing my manager or something. I'm like, yeah, me too. No, I think he didn't. He was just like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I work here.
Right.
And he was like, oh, yeah. And then like, he was nice, but you could tell it was an interaction where we both were like, how do we get out of this?
You weren't wearing a suit, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, so you could have been working anywhere.
Yeah. And he didn't seem to care. But I think what was funny about it is like, he seemed like he wanted to get out of it, but I was like, I wanted to get out of it too. Like, I wanted to be like, dude, I'm just as awkward in this situation too. Like, believe me, I want this to end. Just because it was like, it was two kind of like socially awkward people in meeting in a weird, because like I knew him, but we didn't know each other well.
Right.
Like I had known him where I'd see him at shows. He'd be like, hey, man.
well, he seems like he's.
I do really good to see. Is that kind of how he sounds?
That kind of does.
So anyway, yeah. So that was the last time I saw him.
Right.
And then he fucking.
Started raping.
Then he raped that. And then he raped everyone.
Do you think that he's a short guy.
Yeah. And there's also, I do think he's a short guy.
What?
You said, do you think he's a short guy?
He is short, right?
Yeah, there's he's 4 feet like, tall. People don't know that.
But short guys, I think, are worth, like...
Napoleon complex?
Yeah, I don't want to paint a broad brush, but I think you'd see more of that kind of behavior with a short guy.
Like aggressive?
Yeah, because maybe he doesn't get laid as much as he thinks he should. You know,
I know of one girl. I think I might know of two that like hooked up with him in the comedy environment scene, and I hooked up with both of them.
Oh, all right.
One of them, I just had to throw that in. Not the last one, not the one from the article,
right?
But just to go to that article again for a second, but like it does seem to be going too far. But I will say things that I've read, and that's the other thing. I don't know how true any of it is.
Right.
Like, who knows if it's true? You know what I mean? That's the other thing no one talks about anymore. It's always like, well, what he did this and that. And now it's like, well, I don't even know if this happened. But I think he kind of said it. I don't know. But anyway, like, there are things where it seems like, dude, like, that's a thing where you shouldn't be doing that anymore. Like, you know, because at points she does say, like, look, this is making me uncomfortable. I don't want to feel forced.
Oh, okay. I thought she was just saying she was giving nonverbal cues.
She was doing that, too. But if someone's, like, if you're trying to hook up with someone and you're putting your hand on their dick, I mean...
Yeah.
The seventh time, you should just be like, yeah, she doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Especially the first time.
But it happened, I think, in September of last year. That's the weird thing, because that happened about a month before the Harvey Weinstein thing happened. So it's like... The one thing good about the Harvey Weinstein thing now is that now I'm sure celebrities are fucking being super careful.
Now they can't get laid. But the thing is, like, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, if you're a celebrity and you can't get laid without making chicks put, you know, forcing their hand on your dick, I don't know. Like, if I was a celebrity and they weren't doing it, I'd just be like, all right, well, tomorrow I'll just get blown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why does it have to be every night?
No, and I think, but in their mind, they're just thinking, I'm super busy. I'm not going to court women. I think a lot of these celebrity men, I mean, maybe a little change now, are just dangerous because they're not, they don't want to date you.
Yeah.
They're not trying to they're not trying to impress you.
And I've like, you know, that's a big
thing. He's like, I'm Aziz. Fuck me.
And I've and I've heard so many stories, you know, because I think that happens in New York a lot. If you're a woman in New York City and you're like younger and decent looking, like you've probably fucked a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because there's so many around and they're so horny. And I've heard stories from women and like, I've never gotten details, but I've heard stories where they're kind of like, they didn't outright say what happened, but they're just kind of like, yeah, he's a jerk. Yeah, I hooked up. And you could tell it's something like,
because they're probably all doing it.
I think that's kind of that, or they probably just like banged them and they were like, get out of here.
The thing is that it's like, if you want to have a celebrity, like you said, they want to be girlfriend or something like that. They think that. But if you want to bang a celebrity, you just do it for the story.
Yeah.
You know, you don't. You got to assume I'm thinking if who's a hot female slayer? I can't even think of anyone right now.
Salma Hayek. Not anymore. I mean, Kate Upton.
All right, Kate Upton. Like, if I was gonna bang,
not anymore. Now that she's 36,
well, she's married to
she married some billionaire.
No, the pitcher, the Justin Verlander.
Oh, Kate Upton. Yeah, it's gonna last.
But it's like a celebrity like that. Like I would just you just have sex for the story. There's no way I'm gonna think.
Right.
That I'm going to date this. You know, even though I was the best looking guy in the world, I have no money. I have no name.
Yeah. So that's the thing with these. It's kind of like a little, I don't know what the naive, like, oh, I'm going to be. But I don't know. Maybe she didn't. But it seemed like she was expecting. I guess she was expecting him not to just.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
Make her blow him within 2 minutes.
I'm not defending it. Again, I'm saying it's bad behavior.
Right.
I'm just saying that I think these guys are little scumbags.
So why did you? Didn't you? Weren't you his dating coach for the last 2 years?
I just want to get this shit out on.
I'm gonna do a skit. Aziz Ansari's dating website.
Hey guys, this is what you gotta do. You gotta be Indian and Southern, and then work for 10 years.
10 years,
and then you just what?
He was famous like 1 year in.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, by 24 he had that TV show. Do you remember the TV show?
Yeah, he was a human giant. Yeah, he was like 3 years in. I think he was one of the early guys making.
I think that was the
YouTube videos though. Yeah, someone used to pass him around, and this was like he was a couple years in.
They were the ones that kind of like they got into YouTube, right? They were the ones that parlayed YouTube into like a career.
Maybe one of the first ones.
I think they were the first big one. Yeah. It was like them, and then Lonely Island.
Yeah. That's when there was nothing on YouTube, so you just put a video of yourself doing anything silly, it would get a million views.
You had a show.
Yeah.
And then, Human Giant was around, and that was pretty funny. But, yeah. And what happened was that show, Crash Test, became the Human Giant show.
Right.
They all three started hosting it. And I remember one of the last times I did it, they were hosting it. And, like, I swear they did, like, an hour up front. Like, really? They were the hosts. And, I mean, everyone was just there to see them.
Yeah, they don't want to see anyone else.
So I remember sitting there, I'm like, when am I going on? Like, when is anyone going on? Now I have to follow Human Giant for an hour? So, yeah, I don't know what. But then that show got canceled or something? I don't know. I wonder what.
They get canceled. They just moved on to better things.
Yeah. Well, it. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
it was like not bad for them.
No, they wanted more seasons, I think. But you know, MTV is notorious for paying shit, so they probably got some offers.
They also like it didn't belong on MTV. It was too like good for MTV. Because MTV's just like, I don't know, just became shows about people punching each other in the face.
Right.
And this was like a well written like comedy show.
Yeah.
So I guess I asked you, sorry, but how do you think it'll affect him?
I mean,
do you think they'll cancel his show?
That's the thing. More women pile on.
Yeah.
It's done. And that's the scary thing, because once that floodgate opens, then you have more people coming in. It's what's going on with Franco. We can talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
He seemed to have survived it.
Yeah, but he's not going to get an Oscar now.
He won't. You think he won't get nominated?
You know.
Yeah, he won't.
Well, the thing is, the ballots, they actually, you know, vote, and, you know, as you know, and you know, but they can encourage people not to vote a certain way. And I think, because this Oscars will be very pro-woman.
Right.
I don't think they're going to want him on the ballot.
I don't think so either.
They don't want him in the building.
Yeah, even though they're all like kind of like, okay, whatever. But yeah, they don't want him there. Yeah. It's amazing how fast everything's happened. That's why I feel like the backlash is already coming. And it's been interesting to watch.
Yeah, it'll be backlash to the backlash, too. You'll see. It'll be just, you know.
Well, so the cat person thing, I read that. That's a, like a short story piece in The New Yorker. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of comparing the Aziz Ansari thing to that. And I read it, and it's I don't even know what it is. This is kind of the first time I'm like, man, I'm like old. I don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically about like this 20-year-old girl meets this guy while she's working at a movie theater. And she's kind of like, oh, yeah, I thought he was like cute. And he gave me his number. And then we texted for like weeks. And I got really into him. And then we went to a movie. And he took me to like a weird movie, like a Holocaust movie.
Oh, God.
And then he's like, oh, I'm 34. And she's like, oh, okay. And then he's like really cold on the date.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of is like trying to like goad him into like being affectionate. And she's kind of like, starts drinking, and then he's like, I'll take you home. And she's like, no, I want to like be with you. And then he's like, okay. And then they go to his place, and it's basically they have like bad sex.
Okay.
And she's kind of like, you know, in the story, it's like, well, I felt like when we were like about to do it, I didn't know that I really wanted to do it, but I felt like I had already like, you know, like come on to him so hard and made this happen that I felt weird saying anything. And then, like, they have sex, and she's like, and he seemed like it wasn't that good.
Which, by the way, just to say, usually, I would say a good portion of the time when you have sex with a girl for the first time, it's usually bad.
Yeah, exactly. That was another thing. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she's like, and I felt really weird after, and then I went home, and I didn't want to, like, see him ever again, but I didn't want to ghost on him, and he kept texting me.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like, hey, let's hang out again. And I just kept being really vague. And, you know, and I told all my friends, like, what an idiot. Just things like this. And then she's like, I saw him in a bar. She paints him as like a schlub.
Right.
I saw him with my friends at a bar, and he was like alone, just sitting there. And then I left so that he wouldn't see me. And then he texted me like, hey, I saw you. How are you? I hope I didn't do anything wrong. And then her friend takes her phone and is like, I'm going to end this, and just writes like, I'm not interested in you. Leave me alone. And then he starts writing like, you whore.
Uh-huh.
And then like, that's the end. I mean, he's wrong too. Cause that's not how you like, I mean, that's like 101 of like women. You don't keep pursuing them.
Right.
Like I've slept with women and then never, you know, have them blow me off. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not like you don't keep contacting them.
No.
Because usually what happens is later time goes by and they contact you again because you've shown you're not crazy. Because that's what dudes don't understand. Yeah. Every dude they sleep with or have this thing with, even if they don't sleep, is like, won't leave them alone.
Yeah.
So when they sleep with a dude that they don't know that well, it's kind of like, oh, is this guy nuts? And then when they keep being like, hey, wait, what's going on? They're like, get the fuck away from me. So anyway, that story just, like, I don't understand. I don't know. That's like part of this movement somehow. Like, they paint the guy as this horrible guy, and it's like,
I mean, it sounds like he was creepy at worst. You
well,
know?
Later when she kind of blew him off, he didn't react well, but he didn't really do anything. They just kind of had, she was like, I realized I wasn't that into it, and I didn't tell him. And it's like, well,
that's not, I mean, but maybe we're going to get to that point where we're going to have we'll have to sign contracts and stuff.
I just think sex is over, going to be over. Like, just, oh my God, I went out with this guy and we had sex. Oh my God. They're all the same.
But don't you think that we get to a point where you have to sign a contract?
I think the backlash will like go the other way. Things, everything changes. There's like a tie. This tie.
Do you think a contract would be bad too? By the way,
as a lawyer,
no. But I mean, let's say
I think it would probably take the heat of the moment.
Especially if you have to get a notary in there.
But isn't any different than having to get a condom? That can ruin moments too. No, I don't know. Like maybe they should sell condoms with contracts on them. Like, the contract should be on the condom, like, so it's kind of like you agree to the terms and conditions, like, kind of like when you buy something, you automatically agree to them.
Like an iTunes contract.
Like, right, you have her open the condom box, because that means they agree.
Well, you might have just invented something here.
I think I might have.
Yeah, holy crap.
You think that's a good idea?
But it has to be fingerprint, it has to know your fingerprints, because a guy can't get around and open it up. She has to rip it open.
Right. And does it matter that she's not aware of... I think that's like at least a funny skit, right? Contract condoms.
Yeah, it really is.
But do you think people will like be mad about that skit?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Because people are mad at everything now.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
It is funny. I mean, you could do it in a tasteful way where it was
you
like,
could, yeah.
You could just say like make it for a commercial for something like Apple or Amazon.
Well, because that happens, like people agree to terms of service and they don't know what they're agreeing to,
right?
And they don't know when. But there's things that when you buy them and you open them and use them, you've already agreed. It's in there that you've agreed to it,
right?
It's like,
yeah, that would work better than the pen the contract thing, because I always have a hard time finding a working pen. You ever notice that?
Yeah,
I don't even barely use pens anymore. But every time I use one, it's all dried out.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine you're just there and you wanted to sign and the pen doesn't work.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer. And that would give them a lot of time to change their mind. That's the big thing about sex, is like when a woman's agreed to pretty much. And I feel like I usually get consent like before I even get there.
Right.
Like it's pretty clear. I think like last time I had a hookup like that, the girl was like, "Do you have condoms?" before we really got to the place.
See, that's
consent.
That's consent. But you might have to record. You should keep your recorder on your phone.
Yeah.
You know how like someone should have recorded Trump saying shithole?
Yeah.
Apparently it's conjecture.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. That is funny. I remember when that happened, I was like walking back to this place. I'm like, I wonder if I'm like, what's going to happen? She's like, "Do you have condoms?" I was like, bingo.
You should have said, "Could you repeat that again?"
Exactly. And I didn't. We had to like go buy condoms together.
Oh, that was
kind of annoying.
That's bad.
Yeah, because it took long to do it. And I was like, anything could happen here. Like, I could say something really annoying.
I remember like just years ago, like, I would never buy condoms because I always felt like or take one out with me,
because
I thought
it would look like scummy if you just had it.
Yeah, well, definitely you didn't want them to see, but I also thought it jinxed me.
I've thought that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that night I wasn't even thinking about anything, and then
right.
I had to buy condoms. But yeah, now I have condoms in my wallet and I never really end up using them. But you should have them.
Yeah, everyone should wear condoms. That's our lesson for today. And
yeah.
Don't sexually harass or rape.
And I guess that was another thing in the Aziz thing, because that's part of the story. Like, they walk in and he's like making out with her, and immediately he's like, "I'm going to get a condom." Like, and within like 2 minutes.
You know what? The question I didn't get.
I love how he has like worse moves than me. If I was famous, I would be like destroying it. I feel like I'm like better with these chicks like than these dudes who have everything.
Oh, yeah. But the one thing I remember, one line in the article, he goes, "Where do you want to have sex?
Where do you want me to fuck you?"
Yeah. Yeah. Now
that's pretty.
What did that mean?
Presumptuous.
Does that mean like in his? It, what,
oh,
her,
like the oh,
what
like
room?
Physically or in the body?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like,
no, like
ass,
in the what room? Like, you want to be fucked in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be fucked in the butt? Like,
yeah. Is that what? Oh, I thought he meant what room.
That's what I did too, but then I wasn't sure.
Right. That's actually very presumptuous. Just like, where do you want me to do it? Not like, do you want me to do it?
It's like a game of Clue. Would you like to go in the conservatory
like,
with
it's
a lead
like,
pipe?
Where? Wait, shouldn't we get to if first?
And maybe he meant butt. Maybe he meant butt.
That's probably what he meant, because he's probably so used to it. Like, well, where? Usually they just let me do it in the ass. Do you think that guy gets laid a lot? He must, right?
He does,
but
like
not for a celebrity.
But probably he's not as much as certain guys, you know?
And that was the other thing, I guess, why people were so, like, came out so angry against him, because he's one of those, like, I'm such, like, a feminist.
You're right.
Which always just seems to, like, backfire on these dudes.
Like Jamie Kilstein or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's ruined, but I mean, what was he like really doing anyway?
Well, he had a big following in that community.
But yeah, he was like kind of like really hard to take.
But a young Brad Pitt, you think like a young Brad Pitt, right? Definitely never had this problem, because when he went back with a woman, she probably like tore his clothes off.
Yeah.
That was probably not even like he never even got to the point like,
right,
are you interested? She probably legitimately just probably, he probably never even had to ask.
And even if they did, if that didn't happen, he probably just was like, okay.
Yeah.
I doubt he ever was like taking their hand like 10 times.
Brad Pitt calling.
Yeah, that's him. He's pissed.
You're right, because he probably was like, okay, and probably left his building and found another woman within
or
10
like
minutes.
He probably was like, whatever. Like, I think he was someone that probably could get laid before he was famous. See, I think that's what happens. A lot of these guys, you can't get laid before they're famous, and then when they're famous, they just go nuts. I think he always kind of could. So once he had that, it was like, okay, yeah, more of this.
Right, right.
Like, he didn't go insane with it. And he somehow strikes me as it's always those dudes, not all the time, but a lot of times, like the really good looking dude that like could get anyone who always seems to be in long committed relationships.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which seems to be the smart thing. Like Rob Lowe got married at when he was like 26.
Right.
Why, you know what I mean? You're like, why would that guy, and his wife isn't even like that. She's okay.
But I always think maybe they have open relationships. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure he has done that, but I think also like he's probably, I think someone who's like Rob Lowe and is adored and everyone thinks he's so hot, I think he wants to be that guy in that relationship instead of the guy like, who needs validation of himself.
It's true. Yeah.
He's almost like a chick, you know what I mean? Where, like, he's, like, the one celebrated in the relationship.
I heard this old story about when Brad Pitt was young, that he didn't bathe. Like,
yeah.
And he would smell. And it's almost like he was almost trying to, you know, push women away by being disgusting.
Right.
As possibly.
That's how hot he is. It's like, I need some kind of defense. Like a skunk.
Yeah.
It's like, no, buddy, that's not going to work. He's still going to. Wow, that's funny. Maybe that's why he did that.
Yeah. Because it probably, after a while, it probably got annoying for him, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you remember there was like a thing like when he, in the like early 2000s, where some girl was arrested because she kept breaking into his house?
Yeah.
Like, that's where he was at. Like, women were like literally breaking into his house to sleep with him. Like, he'd come home and there'd just be a woman in the house. Oh, God. Get the police. So, I mean, I don't think Aziz had that.
No.
I think the funny thing in that Aziz thing, enough whatever, is that like, which was another like signal of what he wanted, was he takes her to this nice restaurant, but then just kind of like makes them leave immediately. She's like, and then we ordered, and then he just like, I didn't even finish anything. He got the check and we left. I'm like, wow, what a dick.
He has no game. You're right. He probably just had no game from when before he was famous, you know?
Right. And just almost like mad that he would have to like, just kind of going out to dinner is like an act.
Right.
Like, okay, yeah, I didn't just invite you over and bang you. Like, we're going to go here. Okay, you done? All right, yeah. And the restaurant was like a block away from his apartment. And you know this was just his go-to date.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, come on, yeah, we're going to go to this restaurant. Yeah, it's right downstairs. You're going to have half a drink and then come upstairs and blow me. So, and then he has a lot of stand-up jokes that I was watching, and they're kind of like, all about women and how he can't get laid. That's the thing that's annoying.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe he can't.
Yeah.
So you know who can get laid, though?
Who? You want to?
Tanya Hardin.
Yeah, she can. She can definitely get laid.
That's a horrible segue.
She's like the Kate Upton of figure skating. So, yeah, that's another hilarious thing that's happening. It's like these celebrities are kind of having reboots.
Now, you saw the movie. I just saw
I, Tonya. Yeah, I saw it twice.
I thought it was really well made.
I thought it was great. I heard it was good, and I was like, yeah, I guess I'll see it. And I thought it was really good.
Margot Robbie, by the way, fucking great actress.
She's great, yeah.
She's Australian. She does perfect accents.
She does.
Wolf of Wall Street.
She's great
was the first
in that.
Yeah, and the only problem with that movie is she's so hot.
I know.
And they really try to...
They do a good job, but she's still so much better looking than her. It's like ridiculous because her face is just, they can't do anything to her face to make it not hot.
They give her that awful, like, kind of, you know, cheesy hair from the 80s and stuff like that.
I was on a TV show with Tonya Harding for like 3 years.
Oh, you were on The World's Dumbest, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever meet her?
No, I never met anyone.
I think what I heard, though, you did it in New York. I think she was in L.A. when she was doing it.
And and it didn't matter because everyone did it like... separately, so I never, all those people, it was like, you know the show, right?
It was, of course,
it was a horrible show,
right?
I was almost kind of embarrassed to be on, I mean, but I kept, and then when they stopped bringing me in, I was like, can I do it again? Even though, because I just wanted to still have money.
Yeah, that's, who would not do that?
So
money.
Like, the theme behind it was, they would talk about stupid criminals, and they had like these crazy, like, washed-up celebrities who were known for stupid crime thing. And it was Tonya Harding, Todd Bridges, Leif Garrett.
Yeah.
And
they had a bunch of comics.
Yeah, and then they would have comedians to actually be funny because none of those people are really funny. And the whole theme was that Tonya Harding was just crazy, and they would just cut to her saying stupid shit. So... But yeah, were you saying something that
no,
I interrupted?
No, but that movie though, I mean, the one that I did like that movie. I watched the 30 for 30 documentary. Did you see that
yeah.
one? Yeah. But
is that the interviews it was based on? I think it is.
Yeah, I think yeah, the guy I read took a lot from that.
Yeah.
But the thing is that with that movie, the movie really, I mean, she's shown up to the Golden Globes, and the movie is really about kind of classism, like how if you're poor and you're white trash, it's just harder for you to break through and yeah. stuff like that. And I get it, especially in that world.
Yeah.
But the one thing I don't get is I'm pretty sure she was guilty. She knew. There's no way she
You really? You think
nah.
so?
I remember just at the time thinking there was just... Come on.
Well, at the time, but that's kind of the whole point of this. Yeah. They do paint like that's what's cool about it. That's what I like about it is that it's totally like giving her a makeover, her, you know, her public image.
Right.
Because I mean, she really did. It really did like ruin her horribly.
But the FBI, they mentioned in the movie and I read of it, they did find notes in her handwriting
of the times
of the training schedule.
Well, okay, and in the movie, why does she get that? Because they show that in the movie, her getting right. that. But isn't she getting it for the death threats?
Yeah, maybe, I guess. I mean, basically what the thing is that she wrote down Kerrigan's training times.
Yeah.
So it seems
But they did like make a good case for her not fully knowing what was going on and that he didn't even really set it up.
Right.
Galooly.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, they're taking it from these interviews, but they do... That was the thing that was interesting about, because, you know, the media frames things in a certain way. So I got it in the prepackaged.
It's true.
This is how it was. So I was like, okay. But then when they show it, like the guy, the fat guy, Sean,
yeah.
who's like her bodyguard,
right?
How he's so crazy and he kind of takes over because he's trying to like show what a badass he is.
I mean, that part was like a Coen Brothers movie where everything goes wrong. There's a bunch of idiots trying to perpetrate a crime.
Yeah,
and
that was the thing too. That whole crime was like, what kind of plan was that?
I wish they kind of actually showed more of that. It was just a smaller part of that movie, but.
Well, the other thing is, they did it when there was like a news camera right there.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have that in the movie, but when it happens, I've seen it online, like, there's a camera following Nancy Kerrigan going behind the curtains, and then it happens, and the camera is there. So the camera almost caught it happening.
Right.
And that's why I think maybe she wasn't completely in it, because how could that be a good... Would she be like, oh, yeah, this is a great plan?
Yeah, I mean, it is true. I just felt like the movie should have been... It was so definitively like that she was not in on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a movie... That was my only issue with it, is like... We'll never know the absolute truth. And she just admitted 2 days ago that she knew some stuff.
Well, she admitted basically to what happens in the movie.
Right.
Because Jeff Galooney, this is what he said in his interview later. He says that she knew about the plan of the death threats.
Right.
Because that's what it was. Someone called, she gets a death threat and they think it's Nancy Kerrigan messing with her. So they're like, oh, Jeff. And they kind of paint it in a way that Galooney is trying to get her back.
Right.
And to like back up Tanya somewhat. Like, oh, well, let's mess with Nancy. Because it apparently screwed up Tanya Harding, you know, the death threat. She wasn't able to practice.
Yeah. But no, but Tanya also mentioned something. She admitted to something, not just that.
Like
she,
hearing them talk or
she
something?
She admitted just 2 days ago that she thought they might have been up to something more.
Well, I think, didn't she say, like, I heard them talking about, oh, let's take someone out.
Right, right, yeah.
But that's kind of in the movie. She's hearing them talk about the death threats.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's just like, it was such a black and white when it happened. Like, Nancy Kerrigan's so perfect and she's so shitty. And, Nancy Kerrigan is looks like such a stuck-up dud.
Right.
I kind of didn't like that she became this revered thing.
Well, that was like probably the only, and it was, I remember seeing that. I mean, it was the only time I ever was interested in figure skating ever. I mean, the ratings must have been insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I think everyone in the world was watching it. But what everyone, they didn't talk about in the movie, what everyone forgets is, so they thought that Kerrigan was going to win the gold.
The gold, yeah.
And that's why she was just on the podium and she looks all angry because
right,
she won the
right.
silver. But the funny thing is, like, Kerrigan's definitely going to win. And then in the end, the girl,
Oksana
Bayul won.
Right.
And she was better. I remember her.
Yeah,
actually,
was she?
I think there was a lot of anti-American bias.
Yeah,
the,
definitely, because of that whole thing.
Yeah.
And also, like, Nancy Kerrigan was just a dud. And so that was what was worse about it. It was like, it made you like Nancy Kerrigan when like you probably wouldn't have liked her because
yeah.
she was looked like she always looked like she just always looked like she was smelling a fart, right? She was just like, you know what I mean?
But she was like, wayfish. She was tall, but she was very graceful.
Yeah, she was like hot. Well, yeah, she was exactly what figure skating
right.
wanted.
Nancy Kerrigan, I mean
Tonya Harding.
Harding, she was thick.
She
man.
Was, yeah. yeah, and she was trashy. And but it was just like a really well done movie. It's like kind of like done like Scorsese ish.
Yes,
it's done really well.
I think you're gonna see, especially now, because if they want this movie's gonna get a lot in the Oscars. First of all,
it'll get a lot of nominations.
Nominations, yeah. She was great. She'll get nominated, I think.
Janney will probably win.
Janney was, yeah.
I think it's cool though that Tonya Harding will like be able to go to the Oscars yeah. right after this happened.
Yeah.
When it really happened that year, Nancy Kerrigan went to the Oscars.
Oh, that's hilarious!
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So like now it's Tonya Harding, and I don't know. I do think it's cool that like I don't know what she what you know. I look at this legally like I don't. They didn't prove what she knew. They never proved what
it's
she
true.
Knew.
Yeah.
Her life was ruined. Okay, maybe she like knew of a thing that like was a stupid plan that kind of didn't really matter anyway.
I read some article recently because I was reading after a lot about this after it happened. Is that so she's banned from U.S. skating, right?
Yeah.
But she said that in 96, Australia said, hey, can you move to our country and you can be on our Olympic team?
And what happened?
She said no. But then they're saying that there was no record of that offer.
Yeah.
But
I mean, she seems like not believable a lot.
Yeah.
When I was watching the movie, I was like, you know, I felt really bad for her and I was sympathetic. But then I think a lot of it had to do with it was Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Like Margot Robbie's a lot more likable and charismatic.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like, I guess the problem was that Tonya Harding was just kind of not that attractive and not likable. She was very unlikable.
Yeah.
And she always looked like she was lying.
Yeah.
Which, like, nervousness, because that's what a lot of people, like, don't, like, account for. Like, you know, which might have come off as, like, lying and horrible is, like, you're going up in front of the world. You're not used to this attention. The entire world is not. You're 23 and you're like, yeah. Sometimes when you don't lie, it can just sound like you're lying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like I remember one time I was in college and I walked in my dorm room. I lived with this idiot guy my freshman year. And I walked in and there was an RA and like some other guy from the campus in my room. And incense was burning. And my roommate wasn't there, and they were like, hi. And I was like, hey.
You must feel like you're guilty there.
Well, yeah, and they were like, is this your incense? Because what happened was I think they thought someone was smoking weed
right.
in there. And they were like, is this your incense? And it wasn't. And I was like, no. And I remember I was like, this just sounds like I'm lying.
But you know why they're asking, so you're almost like feeling guilty, even though you didn't do anything.
Yeah, and it was right. already just a situation. And I remember being like, wow, this is weird. I feel like this isn't believable, but it's completely true. And I remember I was like, no.
That doesn't sound.
So like, I don't know. Sometimes you cannot be fully, like, my thing is that the movie and what really happened, it's somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Like maybe, I'm sure she did not know anything, but I'm sure she wasn't as involved as, I don't know.
But the one thing that they said in that movie, it's true, is there was no way, no matter what, that she was not going to compete because they knew the ratings that was going to get.
Oh, yeah, because they were going to say they were going to knock her off the team.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's funny, I just recently, because the only footage I'd ever really watched of her Olympics performance was when her skate lace broke.
Yeah.
I had never seen her actual performance.
And she was crying. Yeah.
Yeah, but then like when she comes back, I just watched it last night, when she actually does, she comes back and does it, like she does a good job.
Yeah.
She just doesn't do the triple axel.
You know, I remembered it when I was watching it. I thought that she fell, actually.
And she doesn't, yeah.
And that's why she was crying. I knew she was blaming it on the skates.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remembered it wrong because you're, you know, that's
she does way. Mess up the jump though. She doesn't fall, but she like just does this, she doesn't do the triple axel at all.
Because there's no way she can win after that, you know?
Yeah, and I think she came in eighth. I mean, yeah, it's like it's because that's the thing. I watched her skate and she's fine on it, but she doesn't get close to winning.
Yeah, and the pressure, like you just wanna like it's probably
that's the other thing. That pressure, Jesus, man. Imagine that. Like everyone's like, let's see, you know, everyone hates her. And you got, I mean, being in the Olympics just has got to be nerve-wracking already.
Right.
Alone, skating. I mean, and skating is just like you're going, someone's going to fall. You know right. what I mean? That whole sport is just centered around let's watch and see if you fall.
Right. And then, like, if they come down and they land not great and stuff, like, even if they don't fall,
right.
you know, like when they do the gymnastics and they do that spin up wherever yeah. in the air and then they land, but they don't land like flat, and they kind of land a little
yeah.
off, and they go, oh, that was terrible.
They're like, that's 2 points off.
Yeah, it was horrible.
She landed on the skate. Yeah, it's always like things no normal person watching would notice.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a terrible. And I'm like, really? Like, even the triple axel, I can't tell how many times she's spinning.
Right.
But so, any other movies you've seen?
Well, maybe we'll get to it next week, actually.
Have you seen other things? Just to give people a preview?
Yeah, I want to catch up, but that was the first one I saw. I want to.
Yeah, we don't have to.
What should I see? I have a late. I want to. Lady Bird? No.
I haven't seen that. I want to see it.
Because that's going to get nominated a lot because it's the yeah. woman. All the Money in the World. You see that one?
No, but what, now everyone's mad about that.
He's kind of a dick.
That movie, like, just should never have been made. Just everything about it is off. And then the other thing, I remembered, like, there's this whole like, Mark Wahlberg, like, almost murdered someone when he was
right.
a kid. Like, no one, how come no one remembers that?
But he's such a, they say he's such a money whore, you know?
Yeah.
And that.
He's like, I won't work unless I get $1.5 million.
But you should have known in that circumstance that they're only reshooting this because of what happened. Maybe you should be a little smarter about
right,
the
right.
implications. But that's the kind of, that was the beginning when all this stuff was happening, the Spacey thing. So maybe he didn't get the gravity of what
I'm
he
sure, and I'm sure he didn't care. And I'm sure he had, and it's just so funny. Of course, it's like this whole thing, women's rights and equality. And, you know, Michelle Williams got like $20. First of all, I'm like, why aren't you getting at least like $50,000 for that? She got like $1,000. Well, probably because she was like, well, I'll do it for the movie.
Right. And also it's like movies have certain budgets, you know, and they were scrubbing a fucking rapist from the movie.
Right.
So you should try to be
one
like,
and a half million dollars.
You should be more of a, you know, kind yeah. of sensitive to the matter.
Right, he's really behind the cause. But that's the thing, people don't remember, like, he, when he was like 17, do you know this story?
He punched someone's eye out or
he
something?
He like beat up some Vietnamese guy, him and his friends, and like robbed him and like were like saying racial slurs. But like, that's okay, but, you know, now it's just like someone went on a date. And it's, I mean, I'm not defending, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we've forgotten all this. Like, Mark Wahlberg, like, was able to get past that. And that did come out at one point.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, I think early in his
he,
career.
He, like, destroyed a guy's life completely.
Yeah, and I'm surprised it didn't, well, anyway.
So, all right. I guess
Trump said shithole. We don't have to talk
Trump
about it.
Trump said shithole, yeah.
Yeah, what do you, anything about that real quick or no?
I mean, you know, I think it's great. I mean, I don't like, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. Everyone's like outraged. I mean, I guess they're doing it just to kind of draw more attention to him.
But when on Martin Luther King Day, if you're saying I'm not a racist over and over again,
right,
that's probably you've made some mistakes.
I just
week.
Feel like it's so ridiculous at this point. I don't know what people are like expecting or like waiting for. I don't know why, you know, I don't know. It's like the thing of going on a date with a rapist and then he's a jerk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like you've elected a rapist and he's a jerk.
It's true. I mean, you can't really be surprised about anything anymore.
And it's like, I used to get so worked up and mad about it, but it's like, I don't, now I almost like the shithole thing. I almost like, I laughed at it because I was just like, of course it's what he's saying. And like the fact, like that's all he does.
Well, one last thing is that when you go in these private meetings with Trump, I heard rumors about how they make you people, now you have to leave your phones at the door. But security.
Yeah.
Because if you're going in a private meeting with Trump and there's no cameras around, why are you not turning on your phone and recording that fucking shit?
So is that why no one's allowed?
I don't know. I don't know if these senators are older. Maybe they don't know about their smartphones and stuff like that. But if you were ever having a private meeting with Trump they didn't take your phone, wouldn't you fucking? Because you know he's going to say something crazy, you know?
I guess so. I just feel like, first of all, the problem too is that everyone gets outraged and like, you know, they keep it's just you're reporting these things to like it doesn't make any difference. Like the people that support him, they're not like, oh my God, they're like, yeah, I'm glad he said that.
Right.
That's why they voted for him.
No, I know. But I still think it's important to keep reporting.
It is. I think it's important only because that's why they're doing it. They're just it's almost like they're stacking things.
Plus, you got it for this election this year. You got to. The people, there's a lot of people who are going to be anti-Trump, and the thing that worries about, and they're going to come out to vote. The thing that worries about, that I worry about, is midway through the year, he'll be the kinder, gentler Trump.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't want him to be. I don't think he will be.
I don't think he can
be.
But
people have short memory spans.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll be like, well, he's a horrible person, but in the last 2 months, he's pretty nice. So you know what? I'm not going to show up to vote.
Yeah,
you
and after the Doug Jones thing, they're really pushing the racist thing.
Right. So you got to keep it going, you know?
Right. You got to get... I mean, I understand. I think it's good that they keep it going. They should call everything out. But I just, like... Everything that happens, I'm like, yeah, it's like one of those. It's like one of those "I told you so" things.
The problem is in this country, and that's why this country's fucked up. Is people only vote out of fear; they only vote for defensive purposes, you know. Yeah. And they'll only come out if they think that this country is about to fall apart. You know, if a president does a good thing, people won't be like, "Hey, you did a good thing. I'm going to give you more support." Nah, they just don't show up.
Yeah, and now Oprah, people want her to be president. Yeah. Wow. I think the only reason to do that is just to get him out somehow. But it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't want Oprah to be president.
She's not running anyway.
She won't. She has too much to lose.
Yeah.
But it's just ridiculous. Like, I was only thinking because it's like, do it for one term to just get rid of him.
Right.
Because that's what it's come to. I mean, who's going to be president in like... I remember in, like, the 80s, people used to make jokes about, like, John Travolta being president. That was, like, a joke. Now it's, like, that totally, probably should happen.
Well, he would have to come clean about some things first.
Yeah, no, he won't be, but, yeah, like...
First gay president.
Because he's, like, gay and stuff?
Yeah.
He's definitely gay, right?
I think that's almost guaranteed.
That's a good thing to end on.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time. Bye. 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 Traveling west to head off a white supremacist team to destroy the national celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. Public Enemy believes that the powers that be in the states of New Hampshire and Arizona have found psychological discomfort in paying tribute to a black man who tried to teach white people the meaning of civilization. Good luck, brothers. Show them what you got. Myself and I indeed.